This is a sermon. This is a part of Scripture that I've really not spent a lot of time in intentionally because it just kind of raises the bar. And anytime we get the bar raised in our lives, we have a tendency to struggle with the bar, don't we? I can remember when Kyle, I think it was in first or second grade. I don't remember for sure which grade it was, but he had PE class. And the PE teacher from the very beginning said, "All right, this is what we're going to do for this semester for your grade. Everybody's going to run the mile. And I'm going to time you. Everybody's going to have a time. And then at the end of the semester, you're going to run a mile again. And if your time is better than it was at the beginning of the semester, then you get an A." I was like, "Perfect." So he walked the first day. He thought, "I could beat it if I walk," right? And that's kind of how we function sometimes in our humanity, is it's like when the bar is raised, when the level of expectation is raised, yeah, it's challenging, isn't it? And it's hard, and sometimes we face those things, and it's difficult. And as Jesus kind of elevates, again, don't forget that this Sermon on the Mount is really intended for the 12. He's sitting on the side of a mountain. He's sitting, and they're circled around him, and he's having this discussion, and as he's having this intimate discussion with his 12, there's hordes of people, because remember, Jesus is doing some crazy things, so people are chasing Jesus around, and you know, from place to place, from city to city, from town to town, because they want to see what the next greatest thing he's going to do, and oftentimes we see this through Scripture, through Jesus' ministry. And in Jesus' ministry, he's doing these miracles and these healings and turning water into wine, and people are amazed, and crowds start to build. And in the midst of crowds starting to build, then he starts talking. And when Jesus starts talking, people are like, "Yeah, I like the show, but I don't like the message. Because the message is going to require something of me." How many of y'all like the show but struggle sometimes with the message? We like to watch, but the reality is when it comes to the teaching or it comes to this understanding or this position that we need to make a change, it's like, "I don't know if I like that." And so oftentimes when Jesus starts teaching, people start leaving. And like me sometimes, right? That was a joke, and you can laugh. I know you kind of took a shot at me the other day, but I give you permission to laugh again. And so I want you to just picture Jesus really challenging his 12. And these are the guys that in John chapter 6, when Jesus says, and he's given the teaching about eating of his flesh and drinking of his blood, and many followers, many people who are following Jesus from town to town said, "Ooh, this is a hard teaching." And many left. And he turned to his disciples, the 12, and said, "What about you guys?" And they say, "Well, where would we go? What would we do? Because your words are eternal." And so they don't have a lot of stuff figured out. They don't have everything figured out, but they have one thing figured out. When Jesus speaks, you probably ought to turn your ears on. Because he's speaking of stuff of eternal consequence that matters in the eternity, not in the physical. And so imagine, if you will, he's got these 12 and they're really dialed in. And he sits down and he just starts talking. And I hope you've seen the message so far through the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is connecting the physical to the eternal. Don't forget, when Jesus was in ministry for the 3 years, he spent most of his ministry talking about the kingdom. Talking about the kingdom of heaven. And so it only stands to reason that when Jesus teaches, what's he teaching about? He's teaching about the kingdom. He's teaching about this internal implication of our lives. And so here's my challenge for us this morning. Don't lose, as we study this section of the Sermon on the Mount, don't lose what Jesus has been trying to do through the entirety of this sermon. Through the entirety of his teaching, which is, he's connecting the physical to the eternal. He's connecting the head to the heart. Yeah, we talked last week, right, about the back half of the Lord's Prayer and about forgiveness, right? And how it's so difficult for us to offer forgiveness because we walk around intellectually knowing we've been forgiven by God, but down here, we haven't let that sink in. And so we're walking around still in our shame, still in our struggle, because the reality is we haven't allowed the forgiveness of God so freely offered to us to sink down into our heart so that we can start functioning from a forgiven place. Because people who are forgiven and people who recognize that they are forgiven and it sinks into the core of their existence, those people are on fire for God. Those people can't wait to offer the forgiveness that they have not just intellectually understood, but that they have felt and experienced in who they are. And so as we enter this section, don't forget what Jesus is talking about. Sometimes we translate this out too physically and not enough into our spiritual journey. Verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moths nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. This is tough. This one hits the pocketbook. Sometimes we start getting a little bit unsure of ourselves when Jesus is making this connection. Here's what I want you to understand. You can find a tremendous amount of scriptures that are going to prop up or support the idea of saving. Okay? Y'all with me on that? That kind of promote this idea that we should be responsible. But we use a term oftentimes in our churches called stewards. Does anybody know what steward means? One who has been put in charge of something. Like y'all give a contribution here to this church, and we are called to be good stewards of that contribution. We're called to be someone who takes care of it well, spends it well, makes good decisions, right? And I think we first need to come to this place where we understand that everything we have is God's. I think sometimes what Jesus is more talking about here is that we have a tendency sometimes to hold too tightly to things. And so what he's really challenging, this is going to be a super short one this morning, I promise. What he's really challenging his 12 with is, where is your security? Where's your security? I remember going to a conference 20-ish years ago. It was a secondary finance conference. In Las Vegas, Nevada. Let me explain secondary finance. People who have not taken care of their credit. Okay? And so their interest rates are really high because they've not done a good job of being responsible with their credit. And I can remember something that was said in that conference that kind of just made me scratch my head. He said, everybody is one decision or one life circumstance away from being their customer. And I was like, I don't think I believe it. Right? I don't think I believe that. But the reality is, it's probably pretty true, isn't it? Because life has a tendency to shift on us, doesn't it? And so oftentimes, we in our existence, we in our life, it's like, I got the 401k, I've got Social Security, maybe. I've got all of these different things lined out so that I can be what? Secure. So that I know that I have enough to get to the end. When's the end? I don't know, right? But we put a lot of emphasis on that in our life, and we feel like it becomes this thing to us where we're like, okay, now I'm secure. Now, if something tragic happens in my existence, you know, I can remember thinking this, you know, I lost my dad when he was 52 years old. 53, I think. And I can remember at 26 years old, when Dad passed away, me thinking, my whole thinking changed. Yeah, I want y'all to hear this. My whole thinking changed because I've got a wife, I've got two little bitty boys, and everything about me changed. And I went into this mode in my life where it's like, I need to earn money. Any men out there like that? I need to do something now. That way, in the event of, my family's secure. Man, I spent more time thinking about that than what Jesus is talking about here. Because what Jesus is saying here is, where are you putting your treasure? I should have been, as a father and as a husband, spending way more time when I was 26 years old, securing my family in God. Because if you got that, you got it all. And so I think what Jesus is trying to tell his 12 in this moment is, listen, man, this is going to be a challenge for you your whole life. He's not saying give everything away. He's not saying you shouldn't do that. But that's not the communication here. The communication that Jesus has given his 12 is don't become so reliant on the flesh that you become unreliant on Yahweh. He's saying, listen, I need you to grab a hold of something here. Where you find your security, where you find your support, right there. And the more we understand that, the less this stuff down here affects us. Hey, when you're in a financial jam, does it affect you? Let's be honest. It does, right? You lay awake and you think, man, I don't know how this is going to work. And so you work harder, right? And you dig in deeper. Imagine if we did that in our own spiritual walk. How profound is that? Right? That we go, man, I don't know how secure I am in God. Maybe I need to work on that. Maybe as Jesus said in the previous chapter, maybe as I practice my righteousness, maybe as I work on these things, maybe I need to have a heart for who God is and who God is calling me to be and drawing me into this relationship with Him, so that no matter, does anybody have a life that you wish you could just hit the redo button? Sometimes, man, I promise you, Lana and I were talking just the other day about if you could go back to an age, right? Because we were feeling a little bit stiff the other day. If you could go back to an age, what age would you go back to? And I was like, mid-30s. That was the sweet spot. And she's like, nah, further back so I can fix all the things I did wrong. Right? There's so many of us that wish we could just hit the redo button and go back because we got so many things wrong. But God doesn't care about that. That's part of that forgiven part. He's saying, listen, I have forgiven you, and I have forgiven you these things because I need you to move forward. And if you are moving forward in my name's sake, something good is fixing to happen. Something positive is fixing to happen. There's some lives that are fixing to change because Kevin decided, not just intellectually in his head, but in his heart, that I have forgiven him of the things that he has done. So I am no longer weighted down and burdened by those things in my heart. So now that I can fully function for God. See, he's freeing you up. We oftentimes don't understand the idea of freedom in Christ Jesus because we've not experienced what freedom in Christ Jesus looks like. Freedom in Christ Jesus means you are free from what? The wages of sin and death. So that you can keep on sinning. So that you can live a new life. So that you can live for me. And it doesn't change. He's saying, listen, put everything aside. I want your hope to be in God. I want your security not to be in the things that could be. You know, it doesn't matter how much. I mean, there's treasure hunters out there. I love that show, National Treasure. And it's treasure. And I kind of think of that when I read this text. It's treasure hunters. They're going out, and what are they looking for? Something that someone else has lost or buried, right? Or hidden. Why would we hide our treasure? Selfish. Isn't it self-serving? If I can't spend it, nobody else is spending it either, right? I'm going to bury it so that no one can find it. I'm going to draw it on this weird map out of parchment paper or whatever they drew it on. And I'm going to keep it secure. And then the treasure hunter finds it in a pocket of a skeleton, right? And search it. I mean, you guys with me, use your imagination a little bit. But treasure so oftentimes in our life becomes this God. And that's what Jesus is saying at the back half of this text. He's saying you can't serve two masters. You can't. He's asking you not to not have money. He's asking you not to not have things. He's asking you to hold it loosely. My hope isn't in them. My security isn't in them. I can remember, I keep saying it that way, I gotta rephrase. Anybody in here, besides me, who can remember the stock market crash when was that? What's that? Well, there was another one after that, though. Yeah, I was thinking in the 70s, stock market. There were wealthy people that lost everything. Everything. If my hope's in that, there are people commit suicide. Jumping out of buildings. Why? You ask yourself, why would they do that? Because their identity was wrapped up in their treasure, was stored up where moths eat it, where thieves take it, where rust chews it away. It was in the physical. It wasn't in the eternal. And so I think Jesus' challenge, verse 12, is they're fixing to face hard times in their ministry as they convert from disciples, followers of Jesus, to apostles, ones who have been sent by God. As they are fixing to make that transition in their existence from disciple to apostle, he knows what's coming, and he knows that there's going to be opportunities for them to find security in not just in money, but in things, right? In possessions, because that's how we operate. And he's saying, listen, I need you guys to wrap your mind around something. Your security needs to be stored in me. And if you do that, there's nothing that can happen to you on earth that will steal your joy. Because you are in me. Because you're in me. And so as Jesus is writing this, I want us to hear. He's, you know, sometimes we take it to one degree, and sometimes we take it to another degree. He's not saying that you should just hang your head if you have something. He's saying hold it loosely. He's saying that the eye is the lamp of the body. Right? A healthy eye. One that it through Scripture is translated kind of as this one of generosity, right? And a person who's generous with their things is holding it loosely. It's holding it loosely. A person who is stingy and has darkness in their land is holding it tight. They've determined in their lives that their existence, their value, their worth is based on their own merit and their own physical assets. And Jesus is saying, your worth is found in God. He's saying, hey, get out of here and appreciate this. Get out of your head and appreciate the heart of the message. So take this for what it is. He's saying, find your security, your comfort, all of the things that he's been talking about so far through the Sermon on the Mount is connecting the head to the heart. He's trying to get us to understand that we have taken, you know, don't be like the hypocrites. We talked about that, right? Don't be like a hypocrite. Jesus' definition of hypocrite is different than our definition of hypocrite. Our definition is saying one thing and doing another. Jesus' definition is doing the right thing, but for the wrong reason. Got its heart issue. But I'm going to end with this morning. You guys have heard me say it before. It's my absolute favorite verse in the Bible. And it ties directly into the message this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. For those people who write, you get a chance to write that down. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Everything out here, I'm paraphrasing, everything out here is temporary. All the things that you can see, from us as people, to church buildings, to money, all of these things are temporary. Jesus and Paul says in his letter to the church in Corinth, fix your eyes on the unseen, for what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. And that's Jesus' message this morning on the Sermon on the Mount. Fix your eyes on the eternal. Put your hope in the eternal. Because it's going to last. It's not temporary. It's going to last. Put your hope in what will last. Don't put your hope in something that people can steal, that will rust away, that can create division. Put your hope in me. This morning I want to challenge y'all. If there's anything that this congregation can do for you, anything Glenn or I can do for you, our prayer is that we become a people who would sit on the mountainside with Jesus. If he talked like this, we're going to understand it. We're going to understand it because our hope is coming. So as we, I'm going to be gone for a couple weeks. Don't be anxious. Just teasing. That's the next topic. Man, we appreciate this place. We appreciate this congregation and the heart of it. Lynn and I got to be at Blue Haven for the last 3 days. Good News Kids is still there. And they're getting geared up to see you. Today starts first session. And so about 200 kids are pouring into that place as we speak. And it's going to be an exciting summer. We're thankful that so many from here have an opportunity to do that next week, next Sunday. And so Lynn and I will be up there teaching for a couple weeks. But appreciate this congregation. It's always good to be home and to see y'all's smiling faces. But this morning, if there's anything that we can do for you, I ask you to come as Monty leads us in invitations.